Morena. Good morning. So I'll continue with some more instructions in this period and the guided practice. And so through the instructions so far on this retreat, we've been intentionally bringing the attention to specific objects. And so we started with the object of the breath, just noticing the movement of the breath in the body. And we broadened out to include sensations in the body, through the sense feeling, the sensing in the body, and also to the experience of hearing sounds. And we use this object, which is the breath or the sensations or the sounds, as like an anchor for our attention. And so we could settle onto that anchor, settle onto that object, rest the attention there. And whenever we noticed the mind had moved away, we could return our attention again to the breath or to the sensations or to the sounds. And it became increasingly easy probably to recognise when we're getting lost with the specific object that becomes clear to us when we haven't got our attention on that specific object anymore, then we can return. And that repeated returning to the object helps deepen the sense of stability, a sense of unification, a sense of non-distractedness, samadhi. And as that samadhi builds at times during our practice, we can start to notice the pleasantness of being present. And perhaps, as I was talking to you last night, noticing the joy in that. And as we develop some capacity to stay present during this retreat, we've then intentionally brought our attention to the feeling tone, or the vedana, that arises in contact with the objects. You know, that's the experience of hearing or sensing. And we notice the arising of this feeling tone of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And notice how this can tend to lead to clinging to the pleasant or resisting the unpleasant, or disconnecting or dullness with the neutral. And then yesterday Jill also offered instructions of bringing attention to the mind, to the emotions, the component of the emotions in the thinking and the emotions in the body, the physical expression of emotions in the body. Perhaps as Jill mentioned, you might have noticed the clamping down of emotions that anxiety does in the body, that tightening, perhaps tightening in the chest, tightening in the limbs, the arms and the legs, or maybe some sense of unsettledness in the stomach when the anxiety is higher. Or maybe you've noticed more primary emotions. Perhaps, as we explored last night, the warmth of the heart and the bubbling up of joy. Or the tenderness of the heart, of sadness, and that upward release towards tears. Or perhaps the heat of anger rising up through the body. It's the emotions in the body and the associated thoughts and beliefs. And we also, of course, notice the thoughts, the thinking. Noticing their presence or their absence. Noticing the patterns of thinking, the habitual patterns of thinking of the mind. And perhaps starting to discern thinking that supports the practice, in thinking that's not so supportive. Thinking that adds to proliferation. Thinking associated with the hindrances. Or some thoughts that actually help clear seeing and understanding. Help compassion and softening. Not really, just wanting to see thoughts as just thoughts. Actually insubstantial in their nature. And as we broadened the attention out through these range of objects that we can investigate, we always continue to have the option to return to the breath, to the body, or to the sounds as anchors of our attention. There's no hierarchy here. It's more a fine-tuning of what's most useful for us at any time. Sometimes it's useful to re-establish some stability, some samadhi, so we return the attention again to the breath, the sensations or the sounds. And so today the instructions are to, rather than having an object-focused, intentional movement of our attention in the practice, we practice instead what we call choiceless attention. From choiceless attention, we're allowing whatever experience is predominant. There's a changing flow of experiences in the moment, and we just want to see whatever the attention naturally notices, and not to be present for it all. So instead of intentionally bringing our awareness to an object, a chosen object, we can practice choiceless attention, where we rest and just notice which object draws our attention. What's the most obvious in the moment? And then we rest our attention there, allowing the experience to come into our attention until that fades, or until another object arises in the awareness. So rather than directing the focus to a chosen object first, we're just noticing what arises in awareness and resting the attention there. And so it might be hearing. It might be the breath. You might be thinking. Just whatever's arising in the awareness and what's calling to our attention, most predominant. And it can be useful to silently name the different experiences. Breathing in, breathing out. Sound, thinking, and so on. And as this develops more spaciousness in the mind, sometimes we notice where you can actually start to get a bit spacey, maybe a bit lost, maybe a bit mind-wandering, and sort of lost that sense of samadhi. And so then, of course, we just come back to the object-focused attention of the breath, or the sensations, or the sounds. And then once again there's some sense of being settled, non-distracted, we can return to the choiceless practice, the choiceless attention. And it's really useful to notice which of these practices are most useful, most helpful for our mind at different times. Which brings some more stability and ease and allows awareness, allows clear seeing, and allows qualities of compassion to develop. And which allows us to notice the movement of mind instead towards perhaps reactivity at times we notice we're moving towards reactivity. What is it that helps us to release, to relax back? let it go onto the awareness itself.